This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today from beautiful Camp Verde, Arizona, watching the cotton blow through the air today from the cottonwood trees. I checked the thermometer here just a few minutes ago. It's about 87 degrees, so getting a little warm. And it's getting a little warm. It's actually getting a little hot down at the Arizona legislature down in Phoenix. I guess you'd call it round three of trying to repeal Arizona's abortion ban, which isn't in place yet, but will be in about a week or so. And this is based off of a law that was put into effect. And I think Mark Howitt really slammed this on yesterday's show and got it right. Yeah, it was a law that was put into effect in 1864, but it was a law that was in place until 1973. And now it's a law that was never repealed, that will still be in effect, according to the Arizona Supreme Court, coming up here real soon. So I'm going to break down what happened at the Arizona legislature in a couple rounds of attempted voting by some to repeal this, including a couple Republicans that say they're going to repeal this thing. It kind of got deadlocked today, so we'll get to all that. Plus, Shiri Sapir is going to join me. Shiri Sapir is she's the second vice chair of the Arizona Republican Party. She also, you may recognize her name, she ran for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction in the Republican primary here, the last election. And I actually supported Shiri. I thought she would have done a really good job, although I am also very happy with what Tom Horn has done as superintendent. And I was skeptical of what he would do, and he's held pretty firm about keeping the ESA and expanding the ESA program and taking care of homeschoolers and those that don't want to be in the traditional public schools. And people have taken in mass and left the public school system. Last I checked, there were 80,000 plus people in the ESA program. I'm not sure where it's at now. It's been a couple months since I've looked at it, but more and more people opting to get out of the schools. Well, Shiri Sapir wanted to get on to encourage people to run for their local school boards in their, you know, local school districts, their public schools, their charter schools, but in particular the local school boards. And she pointed out Coconino County in the state as being one of the worst as far as candidates of the opposing viewpoint, or at least to put up, I don't know, just kind of a opposition to what's going on in a lot of our school districts with the crazy gender education and fluidity and all this stuff they're pushing on kids. Think FUSD, Flagstaff Unified School District, plus just the diversity, equity, inclusion, all that stuff we've been dealing with as parents and as community members. Shiri Sapir is trying to get people to oppose this stuff on the school board. And apparently most of the school districts don't have any opposition. So the status quo, she says, is just going to get elected by default. I'll have her break it down for you here in just a minute. Plus, we'll get into a few other things with Shiri Sapir. If you have a comment, love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. I'll get those in. I loved our comments yesterday from, I think one came in from Verde Valley and one came in from Ireland during the show that we were able to hit. So appreciate everybody listening to the stream, TalkWithJeff.com, and also to the podcast, which we get up every evening. You can get that by looking up the Jeff Horovitz Show on your favorite podcast provider. All right, before I get to all that, I want to remind you that if you're looking for somebody to talk to and bounce some ideas off of when it comes to your portfolio, why don't you give Glenn Least a call at WT Wealth Management? Glenn is somebody I've really learned to rely on to get a lot of facts about what's going on in our economy, what he thinks is coming, you know, short, mid to long term. We have a conversation coming up on artificial intelligence and how that's going to impact, you know, the labor markets and investing and all of that. He's really knowledgeable on all this stuff. I do stuff with Glenn, and I'm happy to continue to do that as well. So give him a call. See if he's the right fit for you. Have him do a complimentary, no obligation look at your portfolio. You can talk about your time horizons, where you see things going, where you want to be in the, you know, short to mid to long term. Here's the number for Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Also, I do want to thank Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans. If you're looking to refinance your home, or maybe you're like a first-time buyer, maybe you're upgrading or downsizing and you still need a loan, or, and I hope you're not in this position, but looking at the data, a lot of American households are now, which is trouble with credit card debt because of the inflation and keep carrying those costs onto your credit card. Maybe you've been in your home for a few years and it's crazy how the home prices have appreciated. Maybe you can refinance that credit card debt into one new loan, one new home loan, and hopefully save a bunch of money. Why don't you call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, see what she can do for you. Nova is a great Arizona company that you can get loans like a bank, but Kim also has access to all the best programs like a broker. So call her up, see what she can do for you. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Here's Kim's number. 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, let's get to... I'm going to break this down today, the first hour. And this is Mark Howitt's suggestion. And I'm going to try it for a little bit here. First hour, we'll try to stick to mostly Arizona items. As I said, we have Shiri Sapir coming up to talk to you about school board and school issues, education issues throughout the state. Also, national implications here as well when it comes to education. But let's start with this. Let's start with what's going on down there at the Arizona legislature. So yesterday on the program, as you know, Mark Howitt predicted mayhem, and I predicted chaos when the legislature reconvened. And apparently they're just meeting once a week now, every Wednesday. They're getting close, I guess, to the end of the legislative session. Most bills have either passed already or are in the hopper and heading over to the governor's desk. I've got an update on a few. She's vetoed, by the way, Governor Hobbs. Or, you know, you're just sitting back waiting for the budget negotiations to happen between the legislature, the House, the Senate, and the which are controlled by the Republicans, and the Democrat governor, Katie Hobbs. By the way, I will have the rest of Senator Wendy Rogers' interview. Yesterday she talked about abortion. We'll be playing that here either tomorrow or Friday. I'll let you know here. Hopefully we decide by the end of the show. She breaks down what's going on down there at the legislature. But they're meeting once a week on Wednesdays. So everybody was anticipating them coming back after last Wednesday's abrupt end of the legislative, weekly session, weekly meeting, in which Democrats and one Republican at least wanted to force the vote to repeal the abortion ban that's going to go into effect here. As you know, the Arizona Supreme Court voted, or ruled, I should say, gave an opinion that the Arizona abortion law, which started in 1864, and Mark Howitt was upset how I worded this yesterday, and I get that. I thought about it overnight. It makes sense. You know, people are going around saying, oh, the 1864 Civil War abortion law in Arizona, but the media and most people are failing to mention that this thing was in effect until 1973. And the only reason it was no longer in effect, it was not repealed. It was continued to be in effect, but it was trumped by the Roe v. Wade decision back in 1973. Well, fast forward to, when was the Dobbs decision? 2022, I believe, off the top of my head. Dobbs decision overrode Roe v. Wade, returned it to the states. So people brought a lawsuit. Let me back up just a second more. Governor Ducey and the prior Republican legislature passed, in anticipation of Roe v. Wade going away, they passed a 15-week abortion ban in Arizona. So up to after 15 weeks, can't get an abortion. Now, they knew under the surface was this the law that came in effect during Arizona's territorial days, 1864, and they knew that there was a possibility that that thing could still be activated, I guess, and supersede the new 15-week ban. And there was no effort to repeal that or anything, because I don't think people thought that – some people didn't think that this thing was going to kick in. Well, it did kick in, and that's what the Arizona Supreme Court ruled and said, hey, this will be the law of the land unless you repeal it. So people have been As of last week, Wednesday, like I said, Democrats and one Republican, at least, who was that Matt Gress was the Republican out of the Phoenix area, last week joined together and tried to force a repeal. And it was shut down. Speaker of the House shut down the meeting. No, we're not going to do this. And then we all anticipated this Wednesday's session. They got down there. And once again, the Democrats tried to force a vote. This time, they were trying to basically speed up the process and get this thing voted on quicker, not go through any kind of long process, just slam it through, get it voted on. And there are two Republicans that are supporting the repeal of the full abortion ban. And that's one of them, who was last week, was Matt Gress, like I said, of Phoenix. He voted to and sided with the Dems to fast track the repeal legislation, get rid of this thing. And then the other one who says he will support a repeal of the 1864 law is Representative David Cook of LD7. You may or may not know that name, quite honestly, because we haven't heard much from Representative David Cook. He did come on this show for the first time a couple months ago. He is running for not re-election. He's termed out in the House. He's been in the House for 8 years, and he decided to throw his hat in the ring against Senator Wendy Rogers to, go against her in the primary for the Senate. So, again, not a very well-known name throughout lots of parts of the district, because he was districted in or drawn into LD7 when the maps were redone last election cycle. He is, I believe, Globe, Miami area, and he had a lot of more of the Phoenix area before the districts were changed. And now he's part of LD7, which is southern part of Flagstaff, a little bit of Verde Valley, I think over to Payson, over into the White Mountains. So I don't know. It's interesting because he's already come out and said, I support repeal of the full abortion, but no other Republicans except for Matt Gress are jumping on that ship. Just Representative David Cook and Representative Matt Gress. I'm not sure about the Senate. As you heard from Senator Wendy Rogers, she said clearly she thought all of the members of, 17 Republicans, they have a one-seat majority. They are, it must be 16 then, 16 Republicans, they're all tight and not going to repeal this thing, even if it cleared the House. But here you have Representative David Cook. And it's interesting because LD7 is one of the more conservative districts in this state. Maybe Western Arizona, some of those districts might be a little more conservative, but LD7 and the counties it incorporates is a very, very conservative district. So I do find it, and I would like to get David Cook to comment on this, and we'll do our best to get him on. You know, the district I'm still waiting to get more comments from you all, but I think the district by and large doesn't want to see this repealed. But he does. So I don't know if he's fully in tune yet with the district that he's representing since being redistricted into this thing. But I'd love to have, I don't want to put words in his mouth. All I can go by is what I'm reading and that he supports the repeal of this thing. Now, he did not support the fast track of this thing today. He did not side with the Democrats and the one Republican that jumped ship, Matt Gress. So the thing got tied 30-30. Two times. They brought it back a second time, 30-30, that they would not fast track this thing and they would not, repeal this thing without going through a full and long process. Now, Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma, and I've spoken to him many times. You've heard him here on the program. Seems to be a pretty reasonable guy. He says, hey, look, there's no need to fast track this thing. We'll go through the normal process. We'll vet this whole thing. He made it clear that, hey, I do not support the repeal of this. That's what Senator Wendy Rogers said yesterday. She says, I don't support the repeal of this, even though they're fully aware of the political repercussions. And that's something that, you know, I've been addressing for the past week. I think Donald Trump has tried to address that, Carrie Lake, which is, does this put the Republicans in, you know, a real bad position to get reelected and then hopefully pass more legislation that, you know, help save lives and that isn't wackadoodle leftists. So there's the political side of this. And even knowing that, Senator Rogers, for example, on yesterday's show said, you know, I don't care. This is how I feel. This is my life. This is how my family's values. And we're not going to support repealing the full abortion that will go into effect here soon. So interesting stuff. We'll see how it all turns out. And I really do want your comments on this one. How do you feel? Should they keep the full-term abortion ban in place, regardless of political ramifications, keep it in place, or should they side with the two Republicans that are jumping ship here, David Cook and Matt Gress, and repeal it? And I don't know. There's been talk, and some leaked memos came out yesterday or the day before that the Republicans' plan is to send maybe one or two different initiatives to the voters to decide. So you've got, you know, you've got the initiative that's out there that supposedly 500,000 Arizonans have signed. We'll see about that. But I think this will be on the ballot. That pretty much is abortion, long-term, you know, late-term abortion, because you can get a waiver for any kind of medical reason, even the mental health or well-being of the mother. So that means you could pretty much extend this thing full term if this passes. So what leaked out yesterday from the Republicans, I guess the Republicans accidentally sent it to the Democrats. So this was like their hidden strategic plan, and you can't keep this stuff secret. So I don't know why they tried. But to put a couple different options out on the ballot for voters, maybe a 6-week or a heartbeat ban. So once the heartbeat's detected, that's it. 12-week ban. I've heard all kinds of different things that they will put multiple options in front of the voters to try to thwart the what I think right now has sadly a higher probability of passing, which is the current initiative that's being pushed, and they got a lot of money behind them. For, like I said, full-term, late-term abortions. We'll see what happens. Anyway, you send me your comments. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I found a couple of interesting headlines here along the abortion issue, which is the hot issue of the day here, and I think through the rest of the election. I guess Sonora, the northern state in Mexico, which borders Arizona, they have banned abortions. And I was reading this NBC article, and I think, well, let me read it first. Though American and Mexican women have long relied on one another for abortion care, the impending restrictions in Arizona are set to create a regional lack of access that spans into the neighboring Mexican state of Sonora, where abortion is also banned with minimal exceptions. Such stringent abortion restrictions have left organizers scrambling to support women seeking care on both sides of the border. This is from NBC. And I'm sitting here, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, a lot of people go down to Sonora. I mean, have you been to Sonora? I mean, I like going to Rocky Point. There's not a lot else in Sonora. There's some little towns like Hermosillo and things like that. But I mean, is this really, you're going to drive a couple hours into Mexico to get an abortion? And now that Sonora doesn't have abortions, this is a problem for what they call it, women's abortion care, quote unquote, abortion care. Did the media forget that something called California exists that's closer and easier for people to get to than Sonora? I mean, this is so absurd when they come up with this stuff. They completely, maybe we've got oceanfront property in Arizona now to steal a line, and you can't get to, this is what I don't get. They're acting like you can't go anywhere else and the whole country is back to, you know, abortions banned everywhere. You go to California, Sonora doesn't have abortion. Okay, they could go to California. I mean, that's why I don't live in California, one of many reasons. Here's another one. This one from the Arizona Daily Sun. And this goes what, you know, right in line with what Mark Howitt was saying. The Civil War raged and fortune seekers hunted for gold. This era produced Arizona's abortion ban. But they failed to mention that, yes, that law was put into place in 1864, but it was also still in effect in 1904, 1924, 1944, 1964, 1973. Nobody repealed it even in more modern times. So to say it like that, and they go into dueling and stuff like, oh, there was also laws put in about dueling and, you know, this and that, is insincere and, I guess, intellectually kind of devoid of all of the information. And Mark made it, like, again, listen to the beginning of the show yesterday. He made a great point about that. So yeah, very interesting stuff. One more here for you. Arizona Central reported this, and oh no, a couple other news organizations now too, I see, that Planned Parenthood of Arizona is resuming abortion services, and this one's actually in northern Arizona. even as a near total ban on abortion in the state is set to take effect. This was specifically in Flagstaff. Planned Parenthood Arizona's Flagstaff Clinic is planning to resume abortions, medical abortions, which I guess is half of the abortions that are happening. Two drug combination, according to this article, recommended for use up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. So I guess the Flagstaff Planned Parenthood is going to continue or start to do these abortions until they can't do the abortions, with the Supreme Court decision from April 9th. All right. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's come back with Shiri Sapir. Let's get into school board issues and how people and parents need to start stepping up, because these, you know, the one at FUSD is baffling. Apparently no one's running, right? According to Shiri Sapir. We'll get all the facts from her. But this one baffles me. Here's a school board and then staff members that just a week or two ago, I was playing you clips from their February meeting. Just last week I was playing this. And, you know, they're sitting there saying, let's eliminate the use of boy, girl, and let's, you know, make sure we accommodate the boys with periods. And they get into all this stuff about fifth graders who still, you know, they're not sure. They're still experimenting with their gender. And, you know, they're still very fluid. And someday they'll settle on their gender. It's not what was put on their birth certificate or what they were born with, right? I mean, it's amazing that more parents aren't stepping up. And that has Shiri Sapir really concerned. We'll be back with her in just a second. All right, welcome back. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. I'm real happy to have back on the program. She is now the second vice chair of the Arizona GOP, the Arizona Republican Party, Shiri Sapir. Shiri, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's been a while. You know, we were talking last time, I think, when you're running for superintendent, but you've stayed involved. You stayed involved in the state party politics as well. Second vice chair. A lot of things have changed there in the past couple months. A lot of things have changed in education as well, which has been kind of your focus. Just to remind people, I mean, you got involved with this because you got kids in the school system, like a lot of moms that, you know, got involved, especially during a COVID, and were like, what the heck's going on? If I'm remembering back correctly, you're like, hey, I got to step in here and make some changes.
Right. Exactly right. Yep. And things are getting worse and worse and worse. So for those who have not woken up yet, I think it's a good time to wake up and understand that.
How do you not wake up yet? I guess for those of us who, I almost hate to use the word, for those of us who are woke, you know, we're like, right. How can you not see this now, what's going on? I spent a lot of time in the past couple weeks talking about my favorite school district, school board, which is Flagstaff Unified School District, and this sex education stuff. I mean, I think stuff you and I would, Shiri, were talking about during the superintendent's race a couple years ago, and it was like, seemed so far off in the distance. We were warning about stuff that was, seems almost tame now compared to what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. They're out to get your kids. So it's one thing to not educate them, not to provoke them intellectually. All of this we've accepted, you know, just to have very low academics, you know, expected from our kids in the schools. That's one thing. It's a different thing when your school board is voting on bringing in curriculum that is going to talk about name change or, you know, like in Scottsdale, we have dead names, right? You come with a different name that is not yours in the school. But now in Flagstaff, from what I understand, they're trying to get your kids to actually change their name and follow those processes without the consent of the parents, eliminate terminology that has existed in English language for centuries, like boy and a girl, and make everybody people. So all of these things that they're trying very methodically to let us all accept, because they push, and we're just kind of exhausted and we want to go to our day and have our dinner and think that that's okay. But you have to understand that your children are in that environment more hours, most likely awake than they are with you. And they're on social media more hours than they are with you. So you're set to lose if you're not going to do something about it. And the only thing you can do about it is to make sure that either you take them out of these schools or you fight against the schools propagating your child. That's your two options. There's nothing else in between, and people need to understand that.
I'm glad you said that, because I've been saying that a lot as well. It's you either got to take them out or you've got to really dig in and fight here, get on the school boards, get involved. But I kind of had a message that followed that up too, Shiri, which is
See, I got out of the school system, the FUSD school system. My kids now go to Flagstaff Christian School, because I made the decision that, yes, I can fight this. Yes, I can go to the school board meetings like so many people are doing. And I encourage people to do that, and I applaud them for doing that. But I made the decision that I just don't have the time. I don't mean my time. But my kids' time to fight what I think is a multi-year, maybe even a multi-generational fight at this point. I had to do something right away to get my kids out of this situation. Yeah. So sometimes I think, you know, it's like Sun Tzu, the art of war. Sometimes you just got to kind of hightail it and get to like higher ground, I guess, for lack of a better terminology. I don't want to sound like I'm giving up. And if we do that, if everybody does that, I don't, let me get your take on this. I mean, do they win, or do we drain these schools of people and then we win, or do they even care? Does that matter?
Right. Well, we win if we get a lot of people to take their kids out of these schools, because they'll just collapse financially, and that would be amazing. But until that happens, and because of the lack of courage and lack of will of people to actually parent, and I'm sorry if I offend someone out there, but I'm serious. We as parents, I'm 45. We have a challenge because we're not the same as the older people, the community that we had back in the day, where actually a community was a community. Now the children are on their devices. They are off, you know, with different people in the world that they communicate via video games and all these things. So, and you see it in a restaurant, parents are on their phone, the kids are on the phone. So we have changed as a society, and the parents have a huge part of that change, and they have a huge part of the changes that their kids are going through, and sadly the deterioration in the quality of childhood that their children have. So I say, take your kids out if you can. Mm-hmm. That's number one. There's ESA, there's options. I know it's not as easy in Coconino. You know, you don't have as many good, you know, private schools. If you can, take them out. If you can't, or simultaneously while you're taking them out, you know, I took my kids out, and when I ran for superintendent, people say, well, your kids are in private school. Why are you running to be the top, you know, superintendent in the state for public education? And that was my point. I said, until I'm there and in charge and know that the system has changed, I will not bring my kids in. When I'm bringing my kids back in, you'll know that good things have happened. And that's exactly the point. When you took your kids out, it doesn't mean that you're not using your voice and your radio show to bring sense into it. And that's what we're doing right now. So we need to have a long-term strategy, because they have implemented their long-term strategy. We are just putting out fires as we go. That's just the way it's been. So if you can take your kids out, great. If you can't, attending school board meetings is great, and it's very important, and it can be very effective. But also, and the reason that I really wanted to talk to your audience today, and I want people to pay attention, is that the school boards, and there is 7 or 8 or 9 districts in Coconino, are held by Democrats in your county. I know that there's less Republicans and independents in Coconino. I understand that, but it's not the problem. The problem is that we don't run. So if you're looking at the people that are sitting right now, they ran unopposed. They just got elected because there was not even an election. There were 3 seats open. 3 of them put their statement of interest. 3 of them got in. Terrible statistics for us, because what we're looking at is them winning without us even putting up a fight. This is a nonpartisan election. Your name is not going to have a D or an R next to it. Most people don't know. Most people don't care. So I encourage people to reach out to me, and I'll give my information at the end, to have a little conversation. If you just want to put your name on the ballot, you know, you have time until July. We can help you get your signatures. You don't have to put out signs. You don't have to go to speaking engagements. You need to put your name on the ballot to make sure that we are some sort of a barrier between them just walking into these jobs and then sitting in these school board, like the one that was a couple weeks ago, and literally laugh at the parents when they say, please don't bring this again to our children. Please don't talk about gender fluidity with my children, with my 9-year-old, with my 10-year-old. They sit and laugh at you.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that that doesn't happen. And these people keep getting reelected. They're not even elected. They just reappointed because you're not putting up a fight. And that is going to be on us. So we need to change.
Well, yeah, I guess in their view, they're probably looking at it like, you know, their whole world, Sherry, and we're talking about Sherry Sapir, second vice chair of the AZGOP. In their world, they're right. They're getting their diversity, their equity, their inclusion. They're including everybody. So they do this stuff. And yeah, once in a while, a squeaky wheel comes in and a parent puts up a fight. And you know, that parent's just, they just don't know what's going on in the real world anymore. Or they're, you know, all the names that they throw out there. Oh, these are Trump supporters, or these people are just racist or whatever. Or these terrorists. We had people during COVID, remember, saying that the people coming into the school board meetings, oh, these are terrorists. And then they get to the point of the election, and they've been in there for a term or two, and nobody even steps up to run. And they're like, oh, see, we're doing good. We don't even have to reply to that. We don't have to include that group of people, because we're just clear. We're good. We're reelected. Nobody even wanted to oppose us.
Exactly. And once they're on those seats, they just run rampant with their ideology and philosophical twisted worldview when it comes to children. Now, in any other decent society, any other time, talking to a 7 or 8 year old about masturbation or about how they feel about being a boy or a girl and all of these things would be deemed inappropriate at best. These days, everything goes. And we, again, as parents, we sit back and we let this happen. We can't. This is the innocence of a child. Once it's taken, it's gone forever. And all of these kids right now that are confused about their gender, this is a phenomenon that is new, because it is a propaganda that is put on them. This is not inside of them. That's not necessarily in their DNA. I'm not saying that nobody is ever born gay or feels gay or needs to go that way. And I don't understand the science of that. And I'm not trying to. All I know is that, and I have 3 young children, if any adult would come to my child, my 9-year-old son, and ask him, what pronoun you want to be called, referred to by, or are you sure you feel like a boy? Because maybe, you know, maybe if you were a dress, you'd feel, if any adult will dare to come to my child and say that, they will suffer consequences. That should be the attitude of every parent, every grandparent, every adult in a decent society. It's not the case. And we need to change that. We have a very small opportunity to still change that before this has become law of the land here. And if we don't do something about it right now, we cannot cry about, and the future of these poor children and the suicide and the depression and the confusion. I mean, doesn't it hurt your heart to just think about what these kids are going through for no good reason?
Yeah.
Just because these adults are putting their issues on them? It's got to stop.
Well, and in this meeting at FUSD recently, and I just pulled up on my board, I still have the clip, so I'm going to play one 40-second clip here discussing how I think this one gets into the staff at the Flagstaff Unified School District discussing how, you know, these kids still haven't really settled on their gender. And these are fifth graders they're talking about. This is fifth grade that they're talking about. Here it is.
Yeah, well, I just want to address the language. There's a lot of boys versus girls language, and the way we're moving toward and have been moving toward in the last 10 years in the county is, instead of saying girls have periods, boys don't have periods, we say, you know, some people have periods. And in the spirit of keeping, you know, these trans and trans non-binary kids in our minds, who at age in fifth grade may or may not be out, may or may not have expressed their gender yet.
There's a spectrum of what is available to people who are who identify as a gender different from what they're assigned at birth. So a fifth grader or a seventh grader might feel more like their identity is as a girl, and they were assigned boy at birth.
Anyway, that's just a flavoring, Sherry, of what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. It gets more into, you know, boys with periods, how we got to, you know, these kids are gender fluid still. They haven't decided, and how they've got to give them that space to do that. They got to put them in the same room for sex education courses, you name it. And I just wanted to give you a bit of that. That's what we're dealing with. Basically, the staff members, and this is probably happening in multiple places, Sherry. This can't be just Flagstaff now. It's got to be happening all over the country.
Oh, all over, and worse in some places. Arizona is a little late to the party, but absolutely, it's everywhere. And it's, again, it's in their social media as well, and TikTok, all of these things. They just keep propagating these kids and brainwashing them with this feeling of, well, you're not inclusive if, and you should be really trying this because, you know, there's something there for you, because then you're going to, we're going to love you more, and you're going to be part of this community, and all of this nonsense. You're fighting for justice, all of these things. And these poor kids, as that lady mentioned, I don't let my 11-year-old decide what dessert, and if they're going to have dessert at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
That's not for them to decide how many cookies they're going to have, let alone what organs are going to be cut off of their bodies, or what kind of hormones are going to be injected into their bodies. This is insanity. Because when you're coming and talking about sexuality of any kind with a child, you've entered the arena of pedophilia, as far as I'm concerned, because I will not dare to go to any child, not mine, not somebody else's, and talk to them about sexuality when they're still minors.
Well, if we're gonna, period. If we're going to do this, we should put cigarette machines in schools, and anyone can buy alcohol anywhere. You get your driver's license at 4. You know what I mean? Or you don't even need that. I mean, we have laws and rules for all those things, but all of a sudden, gender is just something that you decide, you know, when you're in fifth grade, apparently. It's just insane, Sherry. Okay, what do people do? Because you said that these people get put in their statement of interest or whatever, and they're the only ones. So there's three positions and there's three people, and the incumbents just roll back in. So basically, you said they're deemed elected. I thought that the time to get on ballots was over, but it's longer or later for school boards. Is that the case?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. School boards, you have until July.
Okay.
So again, if somebody even the slightest have an interest in making a change, don't be afraid. Be courageous. Don't sit on the sidelines. We don't have money to give you. We don't have anything else to give. Give your time. Give me a call. My phone number is 480-540-1001. I have a PAC, Win Local PAC. It's a PAC that all the donations go just to school boards. I don't need your money. If you want to, that's great. You can give it. It's winlocal.com. But what I want is candidates. And I want to help you out, and I want to make sure that we put up people in Coconino County and change. Think about all these times they just ran out of polls. Think about what's going to happen if suddenly, instead of three people on the ballot with three seats, they're going to have six. And suddenly they're just going to get one of their people instead of all three, or two of their people instead of all three, or zero. And imagine you do it in every district in the state.
Yeah, or at least
we make a difference.
At least have a debate. At least be up there and force them into these conversations and things like that. You know, I mean, right. You get to that
and
position.
If you have a little bit of money behind you, we can actually put some text messaging, and the GOP is going to help as much as we can as well. Put some text messaging, put some flyers. People need to understand. I bet you so many people don't even know of the conversation that took place at Flagstaff Unified because most people are very busy with their life. They don't know. People need to know.
And the 50 other things that they're bombarded with every day. Sherry, give me the number real slow again one more time.
Sure. It's 480-540-1001.
Okay, so 480-540-1001.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're interested in running for a school board, you're in Coconino County, you're listening to Yavapai County, a different issue probably down in a lot of those districts, but hey, we want people to run all over the state and all over the place. 480-540-1001. And the website
is winlocalaz.com. Okay. W-I-N. localaz.com.
Okay, winlocalaz.com. And if you guys need to email me and get that, I'll save this and also put it in the podcast show notes. Sherry, keep up the good work, and keep in touch, and let's not make it 2 years, because in 2 years, who knows what they'll be trying to teach our kids, right?
You know,
and jammed down their throats. All right, I appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.